Day to DeRocher to Kreiner, it's double play with DeRocher and Day. With their guests Ralph Kreiner and Nancy Chafee, here's another chapter of Double Play with DeRocher and Day. Welcome to another visit with baseball's most exciting and controversial couple, Lorraine Day and Leo DeRocher, with their guests for today, Ralph Kreiner and his lovely wife, Nancy Chafee. And now Leo is about to meet one of his guests, Nancy Chafee, who seems very impressed and says...
Oh, you're the man that they call the All-American Out.
Oh, great. Well, that's torrid. I'm sure Leo will have something to say about this. But first, this message. And now back to Double Play with Leo DeRocher and Lorraine Day and their guests, Ralph Kreiner and Nancy Chafee.
Hi there, everyone. This is Lorraine Day. Baseball leads into some mighty hot sessions with some of the famous personalities we'd like you to meet on our program. Guests like Casey Stengel, Ralph Kreiner and Nancy Chafee, Duke Snyder, Bob Lemon, and on and on. And I'm here to represent you fans because, well, because I'm a baseball fan myself. I eat baseball, I sleep baseball, I dream baseball, and I get a lecture about baseball every morning for breakfast, so I should be qualified. But right now, we want you to meet two wonderful people, Mr. and Mrs. Ralph Kreiner.
Tell me, Leo, have you ever played tennis?
No, I never have, Nancy.
Well, I'd like to show you how to hold the racket. And see, you put your hand this
way. Oh, no, Leo. Isn't it tough enough being a baseball wife in the summer and a golf widow in the winter without my having to worry about tennis?
I only wish I had this thing when I was playing baseball. Maybe I'd have hit more than 220. Look, Ralph, I've never seen a ball player hold a bat the way you do. And there's two grips I think you use. I'd like to see one of them. I have a golf club here, Ralph. Could I see the way you hold a golf club?
What stance do you want, my good stance or my 11 handicap?
Well, I'll take the good one, Ralph.
Well, this is about the way I do it.
Now, look, girls, look where he has the finger on that golf club. That is what is known as a golf grip. Now, let me see that bat here. I want to show you something. That's not... Show me something. Now, show me the same, the way you hold a bat, Ralph.
Well, I change a little bit, Leo, because I don't overlap, of course. But I hold my hands about the same position.
Well, why? Now, what I want to know is this. Why do you have your finger so high up on the bat?
Well, it's comfortable in one respect to me. I like it that way. My hands feel right on the bat. And the other reason is I get more bat coverage with my hands. In other words, Ty Cobb used to split his hands like this to get more bat control. Well, I get the same amount of bat control by turning my hands this way. And it feels better.
I wish some of my hitters had learned to use a bat like that.
Well, come on, let me see your 220 grip.
I want to ask you something. Was that 220, does that mean your batting average or is that your weight?
You and your kid.
Leo wasn't such a bad hitter. Why, he hit 400 one year.
Yeah, 200 left-handed and 200 right-handed.
Hey, I didn't know you were a switch hitter.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Ralph,
I
don't think Ralph has told you that it's no bed of roses to be the wife of a baseball player.
I don't know anything about it because this is my first season.
Oh, I feel so sorry for you. You just wait till Ralph gets into a hitting slump or until he strikes out with men on base.
I've seen him strike out before. In fact, one game in Pittsburgh, I don't remember who the Pirates were playing, but he struck out three times. And then the fourth time he came up, I looked at this friend of mine and I said, gee, if he'd only hit a pop fly. Now, that shows how much I know. I know nothing about baseball.
You thought it would make him feel better.
Well, anything but to swing and miss all the time, that's terrible. Of course, he hits a lot of home runs, too.
Oh, sure, that makes up for it. I know I get a little nervous every time Ralph comes to the plate.
So do I, but differently, I think. You're protecting your husband's team.
Yes, and you're rooting for yours.
Yes, that's so right.
Well, you know, we had a slump of losing 11 games straight in a row. Well, I want to tell you that during that slump, I became acquainted with more wrestling holes. Because Leo would never go out, you know, never goes out when we lose. So we have to sit, and the only thing he'll watch on television is wrestling. I don't know why, all of a sudden, but, I can do all these things.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Imagine the nights that I'd sit home if we never went out when the Pirates lost.
Well, that's wonderful. You don't have to worry about the whole team. It's different being a player's wife, because you're only concerned with that particular player. But being a manager's wife, you've got every player on your mind, and everything every player does, so we stay home and watch television.
Were you interested in baseball before you married Liam?
Oh, no, and it was so pleasant. It was just wonderful. I went along smiling all the time. I could read the newspapers without...
Come on, Ralph, let's get in here and break this up. You know how it is when baseball wives get together.
What happened?
This was just new, Eric. We started like that.
What happens when baseball wives get together?
Well, I'll tell you.
It's going to be good.
Nancy, you know, a few years ago, the Chicago White Sox had a rule
the players could not bring their wives, even their automobiles.
What do you mean, even their automobiles?
Well, I'd rather have my automobile, wouldn't you?
Oh, Ralph! Well, now why, Leo?
Well, they just wouldn't let them do that because they didn't think that they paid enough attention to baseball. And I know I've read it in the paper that the Philadelphia Phillies are not going to allow their players to have their wives in spring training camp.
Well, I asked Mr. Ashburn about that, and I said, why? And he said, well, the year that they won the pennant, wives weren't allowed in spring training. And so they're just sort of superstitious. They think they'll win it this year, but...
That superstition doesn't go too well, you know. Sometimes I used to wear the same suit all the time in the ballpark if I got a hit that day, but I found out that you have to swing the bat, too, you know.
The suit doesn't win it for you?
Not a bit. You got to swing the bat.
Well, you know, Ralph, we were in Santo Domingo, and this was in 1947 when Leo was managing the Dodgers.
That's right.
And will you tell him?
Well, in 1947, we had a rule also. We were over there at Ciudad Trujillo, and Mr. Rickey, your present boss, Ralph, had made a rule that you...
Bow to the south, huh?
Oh, you bow, really bow. And he made a rule that we couldn't have any of our wives over there in spring training camp. And Pete Reeser, formerly of your ball club, had his wife come over there, and naturally he paid all her expenses, and she lived at another hotel. But still, it caused a big, what we call in baseball, a rhubarb. And there was a lot of dissension, and finally Miss Rickey sent Pete Reeser and his wife back to Vero Beach.
Ralph, it wasn't that they didn't like baseball wives. It was because there were only so many rooms allotted to the Brooklyn Dodgers for spring training. They still had to take care of their tourists, and they just didn't have room.
Well, I think that the wives are good for a ball player in spring training camp. They're settled down. They have someone to be with in the evening. They have dinner with them. They go to the picture shows. And I think they're more settled, and they just don't have to worry about riding home every night. They have their wife with them, and I think they're much more contented, and they're happier.
Well, what I hear about most of the trouble caused by baseball wives is in the stands. Now, I don't know about it because I don't happen to sit with baseball wives. This is for you, dear. Well, for instance, any pitcher's wife is sitting next to any infielder's wife, and maybe the infielder makes an error, and it costs the pitcher the game. Well, I understand that in the heat of the moment that possibly the pitcher's wife would turn to the infielder's wife and say, well, if only your husband could learn to pick up the ball, my husband wouldn't lose this game, and there you're in trouble. Is that right?
What do you think will happen to you then?
What happens to the ball players?
I don't know. I think I'm going to sit home and listen to it on the radio.
See, now, there you go. That's how wives get into trouble.
I won't say a word. I never get nervous when you
What do you mean you won't say a word?
I mean with the other baseball players.
Let me ask you something, Ralph, if I may interrupt here about baseball. How does it feel to be a tennis husband?
Say, this sounds like it's going to be mighty interesting. But before we get started on it, here's something else that's interesting. And now, what was that question again, Leo?
How does it feel to be a tennis husband?
You know, it's one of the worst feelings in the world. I get up in the morning and she isn't around. She's out in the tennis court practicing tennis. So I have to cook my own breakfast.
Oh, you poor boy.
You know, by the time I want to get my golf clubs out and go out and play golf, I haven't got a car and the golf clubs are in back of the car. So this goes on all day and I have a tough time.
Well, what is this I hear, Ralph, that you may be going on a few tours with your wife, Nancy, on some tournament tennis. Is that so?
Well, I don't know, Leo. That's kind of a... Well, I should do it, actually. I beat her, you know. I can beat her all the time.
Oh, this gesture! Hey, there you go! This is what happened. He said, I'll play.
How'd you make out, though? That's
all
I want. How'd you make out?
Now, only the final score that counts.
I know, but this is different. We play, and he said, I'm going to serve every game. So he served every game and beat me 6-3. So that's the same thing as if you had played a baseball game and the same team hit every half inning or whatever you call it. I never served the ball.
Do you think that you would have beaten Ralph if you had a chance to serve?
He has no chance.
How can you say that, honey?
Do you feel that tennis interferes at all in any way with baseball? Because I've heard this argument about golf and baseball.
Well, they give you these arguments. Joe Cronin, who was probably one of the greatest shortstops that ever played baseball, took up tennis to learn how to hit. And he said that the movement from hitting a tennis ball was very similar to getting your hips and everything out of the way to hit a baseball. And he says that it actually helped his hitting. So I think that any sport that you do play, it has to help you in other sports. It teaches you coordination, gives you timing, and you use it later on in anything else you do.
Yes, but what about golf? Now, I've heard you in these little off-the-record chats saying that you don't believe that ball players should play golf during the season.
No, I say that ball players shouldn't play golf, dear, on the day that they're playing baseball. I say that if you have an off day and a fellow wants to go out and play golf, I think it's an altogether different game. The ball is standing still, and You have to hit it with the club. In baseball, the ball is moving, and it's an altogether different thing. But I think that the rhythm and the timing in golf and in baseball are practically the same. And I don't see where it hurts a ball player that goes out and plays a game of golf on an off day. The only thing that I don't want my players to do is to play golf like on a day when you're playing a night game. That, I think, tires them out, and I don't think it's good for them. But I do think that golf is all right, and I certainly haven't seen any ill effects as far as my club is concerned.
I think that you're right when the fact that if you do play, it does wear you out. Before a ball game, I don't play. Well, last season I hadn't played a game from March till the season's over. I just completely quit during the season, and after the season's over, I take it up and play it all winter, and it keeps your coordination. And it gives you something to do. You're walking at least 6 or 7 miles a day. The way I play, it's about 9 miles.
I wish some of the days, Ralph, I wish some of the days that you played my club, I wish that you had played golf that day.
Before you came out to the ballpark,
because many... Oh, yes, it is,
Ralph. He wants you to have a good time.
One thing about being a manager, you got to put up with all that stuff. I wouldn't want to be a manager at all. That's terrible.
I don't want to be a manager's wife either.
But why? What's wrong with being a baseball manager's wife? Look, in the first place, you get the second guessing. That's just the most wonderful.
That's the worst part of it all. You shouldn't second guess.
But I don't want to. Why not? The papers second guess him all the time.
Yeah, but he's going to have the first guess, and that's it. I mean, that second guessing stuff is...
But I'm dying.
Oh, I got to get out of here. You can't get a word in with these girls. I mean, they're worse than umpires. Well, I see that our time's about up, folks, and don't forget to write now. So long.
You've been listening to another chapter of Double Play with baseball's most exciting couple, Lorraine Day and Leo DeRocher. Today, Lorraine and Leo had as their guests Ralph Kiner and Nancy Chafee. Join us when again it's time for Double Play with Leo DeRocher and Lorraine Day, plus another big-time guest star. Double Play is produced by Marty Martin, directed by Ted Nealon, and is a Martin production.